Henry, thank you very much for reading that to us. And gosh, isn't that convenient? Page 1234 in the Bible. So if you want to find that, that would be super. Jesus says right at the end of our reading, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Father God, give us ears, we ask, to hear what you might be saying to us this morning as we listen in. Amen. Well, I suppose before you buy anything now or go on holiday, you can read reviews, can't you? And that's really, really helpful, whether it's on TripAdvisor or elsewhere. It's really helpful, isn't it, to find out what someone else has thought of the thing that you might be about to buy or experience. And, you know, you can also find reviews of churches as well. In fact, there is a website. It's called shipoffools.com, and it has a special segment called The Mystery Worshipper. And what happens is a mystery worshipper turns up in your church and they fill out a questionnaire to review your church. And if there's a collection, they might pop a little card into the collection so that you know afterwards that you've had a visit from a mystery worshipper and you're going to be reviewed. So some of the questions that they answer in their review are these. How full was the church? It's quite a nice one. Did somebody welcome you personally as you came, or did you just kind of wander in and no one noticed? That's something they ask. How comfortable was the pew or the chair? I reckon these are quite comfortable, aren't they? They might enjoy a visit here. What was the opening words of the service? What was the pre-service atmosphere? Was it kind of calm and prayerful, or was it chaotic and disorganized? No one knew what was going on. No one knew who was doing what. I can't imagine a church like that at all. This is why it's good to turn up 1 minute after the service begins here, isn't it? What were the opening words? What instruments were used in the service that they're asked? Was there any bit that was really distracting? Was there like a buzzy noise that no one could find the reason for? How long was the sermon? I looked on one of them, it was 80 minutes. 80 minutes. And it still scored 10 out of 10, because that's the next question, like how good is the sermon, or what was the sermon about? Was there any part of the service that was like being in heaven? That's nice, isn't it? Which part of our service would be like being in heaven? Would it be the afterwards when you have a nice cup of instant coffee? We haven't never got real coffee, have we? Which bit would be like being in? Isn't it beautiful guitar playing? Could be that's good. Or which parts of the service was like being in, it says, the other place? Which part was like being in hell? And would you go back? And did it make you feel pleased that you're a Christian? That's a really good question. I hope that when you come to church here, you feel that it's good to be a Christian when you've been. It's made you glad that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That's really important, isn't it? And if someone was going to review our church, what do you reckon they would say? What would be some of the really good things they'd celebrate and some of the not so good things that they might notice? Well, for the next few minutes and over the next few weeks as well, we're going to be listening in to a series of church reviews, not kind of subjective, I didn't find the coffee very nice or the chair very comfortable reviews, but actually reviews of churches given by Jesus himself. And we're going to be listening in to some of these church reviews. And as we do so, it's worth thinking, is this true of our church? The thing that's commended, are we good at that as well? The thing that's criticized, is that something that a criticism that would apply to us as well? And perhaps we can start thinking those questions as we listen in to Jesus' review of the church in Ephesus, a massive, important Greek city in modern-day Turkey. It's ruins now, but it was a busy, thriving place. It's one of the biggest cities in the Roman Empire at the time. And the big headlines of Jesus' review of the church in Ephesus are these. A good church is disciplined, says Jesus, and must be disciplined most of all about love. A good church is disciplined. Listen to these words, introducing the review, if you like. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. That sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? If you were here last week and heard the reading last week, that is all it explains, that everything in Revelation is kind of symbolic. And the lampstand You know, a stand with a flame at the top of it is symbolic of each of the churches. And because the lamp is lit, the church is alive and is being taken care of by Jesus. And Jesus walks around the lampstands, taking care of them, making sure they've got enough fuel and they keep going. It's a way of Revelation saying Jesus is looking after the churches. He's looking after the church in Ephesus as well. And here's the first bit of his feedback. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. This is a church, he says, that is disciplined. Now, people often say to me, Ben, you're amazing. You're really amazing. How is it you manage to do all the things that you do? How is it you manage to be so amazingly physically fit, they ask? How is it that you're able to do all this writing? And how is it that, you've got 8 children and you've got 5 churches and you're so productive, they say. How is it that you're always so clean and tidy? No one's ever said that. How is it you're always so organized all the time? No one's ever once said that. Well, I don't know about you, but I love a timetable and I'm very happy to stick to a timetable. And my timetable goes like this. I get up at 5:30 most mornings. I make myself a cup of tea and I sit down and I do 20 minutes of emails if I've got emails to do, which is why you might receive emails at crazy times from me. And once I've done that, I'll do a little bit of writing of whatever book I might be working on. And then at 6:30, normally that's the time I go out and meet someone to go for a bike ride or go for a run. Or maybe if it's light enough, go down for a swim in the sea. And I get back at 7:30 and it's time to help get the kids up and all that kind of family life stuff. And I love a timetable like that. So when I go away on holiday, I do exactly the same. I get up at the same time, do all the same sorts of things, just because that's how I work. I find it really easy to be disciplined. Not everyone is like that, are they? And this church is commended for being disciplined. Of course, there's something else they need to learn as well, which I think I need to learn too. This is a church that knows how to work hard, get stuff done, and keep on getting stuff done day after day after day. Even when it seems boring and difficult, they will keep on doing it because they're disciplined. They like having a timetable. They like having things organized. And it's really easy for them just to keep on going. This is a church where people work really hard. They give up their spare time. Once they've said they'll do something, they'll do it. They'll be at church as much as they can be. And they'll want to help out and they'll want to serve. This is a kind of church where people use their time and their talents. They serve on committees and they help make decisions and they are really committed. And maybe Jesus might say that about us as well. What do you think? Do you think he would say that about this church? Do you notice they're commended for this and some of the perseverance, that sounds really good, doesn't it? But they're also commended for something which doesn't sound as good to our modern ears. Did you pick up on that? I know your deeds, verse 2, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. Right, at the end of our reading, verse 6, again, it's a similar commendation. But you have this in your favour. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. It sounds really weird, doesn't it? That the church is being commended, essentially, it sounds like, for excluding some people. Now, that's odd, isn't it? Because as a church, we want to be inclusive and we want to welcome everyone. But what is in view here is particularly the way in which some people are being excluded from leading and speaking. Some people are being excluded for being in charge. This is a church where the discipline is not just about what you do day after day, serving and helping, but the discipline extends to being discerning about the kind of people who are allowed to be in charge. Let me suggest that the church in Ephesus is not the sort of church where if an allegation was made against someone in charge, they would keep it a secret, brush it under the carpet. This is not the sort of church where if safeguarding concerns are raised about somebody in charge, those things would be ignored and it would be business as usual. The things that have taken place recently in the Church of England, which you might have seen in the media, would not have taken place in the Church of Ephesus that was disciplined. They were quite ready to say, no, now is not the time for you to be preaching to us. Now is not the time for you to be the one in charge until you can sort out these things that are serious concerns for us. Now, we don't know exactly who the Nicolaitans were. They're mentioned twice in Revelation, and some second century Christian writers refer to them as well. But these are probably preachers who said, God loves you so much that it doesn't matter what you do at all. You can live life however you want. You can hurt whoever you want. You can do whatever you like, and it doesn't really matter. Well, the church in Ephesus said, we're not convinced of that. And so we're not going to give that message a hearing in our congregation. They were disciplined. Well, a good church is disciplined, but must be disciplined about love most of all. A couple of years ago, something really kind of stressed me out. I think it was organising the school venture where we take the whole of year four away on a little holiday. And I started to get chest pains. And I went and had an ECG. And the ECG came back. And the nurse said, don't read the commentary on the ECG, because unless you're a doctor, you'll just be freaked out by it. Of course, what did I do? I read the commentary and it said something about my abnormal heartbeats. And you could see on the graph, it did look a bit weird. And I started to get really worried. Well, the claim that Jesus makes about the church in Ephesus is that even though they're disciplined, their heart activity is abnormal. There's some love that's missing there. Verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Remember, the lampstand is a symbol of the church keeping going and being looked after by Jesus. Jesus is saying, unless you sort out this problem, the lampstand is going to be gone. Church is going to be closed. In other words, you might be really disciplined, and the discipline is great, and it's commendable that you're really discerning about who you listen to and who you take seriously. But unless you sort this problem out, the church is going. This is a deal breaker. So what exactly is being said? It's as though Jesus is saying that the church in Ephesus has become like that couple. You might be able to imagine a couple like this. They've been married for decades, perhaps, and they are a very disciplined couple. Every year they will go on holiday at the same time and to the same place. They have their routines. Every morning starts with a cup of tea being brought, and they sit in bed and read the newspaper. So-and-so does the crossword on Tuesday. They go together to Sainsbury's, do the shopping. They're very good at being disciplined and having a routine, and they do their disciplined routine together, and yet there's something missing. This is a couple who never have an argument, never have a crossword, they say, but the reason why that's the case is because they've both emotionally checked out of the relationship. They don't care what the other person says. They just don't want any fuss, and so they will rattle through life and not worry too much about it. There's a couple who are not looking for new experiences together, not looking for new conversations to have. They're not curious about each other. Why? Because there's no passion left. No real emotional intimacy. A couple who are very happy to sit across the table from each other and not have a conversation. Not because they love each other and know each other so much there's nothing left to be said, but they're not interested in each other anymore. You might have seen relationships that are like that. You might experience that for yourself. But the church in Ephesus is like this as well. It's very disciplined. Outwardly, it looks like something really exciting is going on, but there's no love there. There's no intimacy. It's been forgotten. I have this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. It's as though this church, it's really good, it's really organized, but it's fallen out of love with Jesus, and the people are not loving each other either. And maybe it's love for God that's gone. This is a church where people don't want to read the Bible, where they're not curious to find out more about God. They don't want to read the Bible for themselves at home. They're not keen to bring their needs to God in prayer. That love for God has gone. And the love for each other might be gone as well. You know, when they hear that someone is struggling, they're finding life difficult, someone from the church, they don't care. It's not their problem. Someone else can deal with that. Because the love for each other has gone. And maybe the love for the outside world has gone as well. It's a church where people don't want to help those in need in their local community. They don't want to put on things like Fair Share or help support the food bank. They don't want to put on things like Christianity Explored and encourage other people to come and find out a little bit about the Christian faith, because they're not bothered about the people out there anymore. That love has gone. Do you think that might be you? Do you think that might be our church as well? You know, as I'm listening to this review, I love the first bits. I find it really easy to be disciplined. I'm disciplined about my Bible reading and prayer as well. That happens the same time every morning. But if I think back over my Christian life, is there something which I used to have which I've lost? You know, when I was 17, I became a Christian, found out about Jesus for the first time, and I was so hungry to find out more. I used to walk 4 miles from my house, which was right in the countryside outside Petersfield, to the 8 o'clock morning traditional service at my church, and I used to walk back as well, because I was so keen to go to church and to find out more and listen to the sermons and find out more about God, because a love was blossoming within me. I wonder, would I do that now? I'd do it now, but I'd do it, I think, for the walk, and I'd record it and I'd put it on Strava, and I'd be really keen. I'd count the steps and I'd be really keen to climb up the big hill that I used to live on as well. But would I do it for the right reasons? I don't know. How about you? Is there a passion that you maybe once had that isn't there anymore? Well, what do you need to do if that's the case? It's a deal breaker, says Jesus. I'll take away the lampstand of the church if you don't return to that love you used to have, love for God, love for each other, love for the world. There is a way back to it, he says. Repent and do the things you did at first. And just like that couple who've got in a loveless rut can rekindle their relationship by doing certain things, by inquiring about each other, by being committed to each other and curious about each other, they could find a way back. So there is a way back for us too. If that first love has gone, we ask for God's help. And we ask for that love to be kindled within us. A good church is disciplined, but must be disciplined most of all about the way it loves. What have you heard from this church review? I wonder, is there anything that's encouraged you as you've tried hard to be disciplined? Is there anything that's challenged you in there too? Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And would we hear really clearly what Jesus might be saying to us this morning? Amen. We come now to a time of prayer. Thank you, Philip.
Let us pray for the unity of the church. witness and proclamation